morning. A little housekeeping. This week's parasha is titled Shemot, which means names, and covers Exodus chapter 1 through chapter 6, verse 1. Last week, we covered the death of Joseph and his brothers and how his father had relocated to Egypt, where they had gathered due to the famine. In this week's parasha, the three-in-one God blesses the Israelites, and they multiply greatly. A new king has come to power over Egypt, and he does not remember Joseph. This new king is concerned that the Jewish nation is becoming stronger than the Egyptian, so he enslaves the Israelites and forces them to build cities out of brick and mortar. We should remember that earlier God told Abraham that his people would suffer slavery for 400 years, and this is the fulfillment of prophecy. The Egyptian king continues to grow wary of the Israelis, and he wants the Hebrew midwives to murder all the Israeli boys, but spare the Israeli girls. These two midwives fear God more than they fear Pharaoh, and they do not obey him. So Pharaoh decrees that all the Jewish boys are to be thrown into the Nile to keep the Israelis from multiplying. In chapter 2, a Levite woman bears a son who will be called Moses. Moses has an older brother, Aaron, 7 years his senior, and an older sister, Miriam. Moses' mother fears for her son, and she hides him for 3 months. When she can no longer protect him, she places him in a wicker basket. She covers it over with tar and pitch so that it would float, and she places it in the Nile River. Her daughter Miriam follows the basket down the river, where Pharaoh's daughter sees the basket and she retrieves it. She realizes that the child is one of the Israeli baby boys. Miriam sees Pharaoh's daughter take the boy and approaches her to ask if she would like a Hebrew woman to nurse this baby boy. When the boy is weaned, it is returned to Pharaoh's daughter and becomes her son. She names him Moses because she drew him out of water. Moses' name means to draw out, and he does, with God's help, draw out and deliver his people from Egypt. Moses grows up and is around 40 years old, and one day he sees an Egyptian man beating one of the Israeli brothers. So he strikes and he kills the Egyptian, and he buries him in the sand. The next day he sees two Israeli men fighting, and he breaks up the fight. One of the Israeli men says, "Who made you prince and judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian?" When Moses kills the Egyptian, he is identifying himself as a Hebrew. Moses' murder of the Egyptian is not just an act of justice, but his identification as a Hebrew, and in fact, it's an act of rebellion against Egypt, and Moses now fears for his life. When Moses hears this, he attempts to kill Moses. When Pharaoh hears this, he attempts to kill Moses. We often think of Moses as the prince of Egypt, who was the favorite son of Pharaoh. I doubt very much that if the true prince of Egypt killed an Egyptian man, that Pharaoh would want him killed. We must remember that while Moses was raised in the palace, he would still be a Jewish boy. He may have had some special privileges due to his mother, but this Pharaoh was not going to make him king. Now, Moses flees through the wilderness to the land of Midian, and he rests by a well. Jethro, priest, has 7 daughters, and they come to the well to water Jethro's flock. While they are doing this, other shepherds show up and they push the daughters away from the well. Moses hears this squabble and he drives these shepherds away and he helps water Jethro's flock. Moses meets Jethro and Jethro gives his daughter Zipporah to him for his wife. Moses settles in that land and he raises a family. But back in Egypt, Pharaoh has died. El Gabor, the mighty God, hears the Israelis groaning and he remembers his covenant, his promise that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God wants to free his people and bring them to their old land, just as he promised. While taking care of Jethro's flock, Moses sees something burning on Mount Horeb, which is also called Mount Sinai. Moses climbs the mountain to see this fire, and when he arrives, he finds a burning bush that is not consumed by the fire. Elohim, the God of Israel, speaks to him. And we should remember that the word Elohim is the plural of El and is the first name for God given in the Tanakh. Anyways, God says to Moses, he says, "Moses, Moses." And Moses responds, "Here am I." How often do we say, "Here am I," when God talks to us? The three-in-one God tells Moses to take off his sandals, for he is standing on holy ground. He also tells him that he is the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hides his face because he is afraid to look at the presence of the holy and almighty God. I don't know about you, but I always find it amusing when someone tells me that when they see God, they are going to give him a piece of their mind. This is pretty bold talk for a people who know nothing of our God. I am quite confident that when we meet God, and when we do, we will be on our knees and in awe of all that he is. Adonai tells Moses that he is seeing the affliction of his people and that he intends to send Moses to be his mouthpiece and free his Jewish brothers and sisters. Moses begins to kvetch. This job is too much for him. And he says, "Who shall I say sent me?" And Elohim tells him to say, "I am who I am. So tell them, I am sent me." He is the self-existent God and answers to no one. He always was, always is, and always will be. There is no other God but him. 1,500 years later, Yeshua claimed the same thing. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He also made some other great I am statements about himself. He said, "I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. I am the great shepherd." And also, "I am the Son of God." These are some of the I am statements that Yeshua proclaims about himself, indicating that he is God, so we should never be confused about the deity of our Messiah Yeshua. The mighty God instructs Moses to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let his people go on a 3-day journey to make sacrifice to their God. God tells Moses that he will perform many miracles and that Pharaoh will release the Israelis and they may take whatever plunder they desire from Egypt when they leave. Adonai allows Moses some limited powers to demonstrate to the Israelis that he is being sent out by God. But Moses' kvetching continues, and surely there must be someone better than me to do this. How often do we say this when the Lord asks us to do something for him? How often do we make excuses for why it must be somebody else instead of us? But God uses imperfect people to do his will, and that's good news because all of us have flaws. But God still greatly uses us. God has already sent Aaron to meet Moses and would allow Aaron to be Moses' spokesman. Even so, note in the parashas to come that Moses will do much of his own talking. When Moses and Aaron meet with the elders of Israel, they perform the signs that God had instructed them to do, and the Israelis believe. When Moses and Aaron meet with Pharaoh and demand Pharaoh to let his Israelis go, Pharaoh says no, and instructs the Jewish people to make bricks without being supplied with the straw, meaning that they will have to acquire the supplies on their own and still maintain the same quota. The Israelis, who were so ready to believe and follow Moses, are now turning on him at the first sign of trouble. How often do we do this when something doesn't go our way and we begin to doubt God? How foolish we are. The only unworthy one is us. God gives Moses the affirmation he needs, and he tells him that he will deliver his people out of Egypt. If we trust in the Lord, he will bring us out of our Egypt. The question is, brothers and sisters, do we really put our faith and trust in him? Not just when things are going well, but when things are hard. Yeshua is the prophet greater than Moses. Will you follow Yeshua only when your life seems to be getting better? Or will you also follow him through hardship and opposition? Brothers and sisters, choose wisely. Adonai is our deliverer. Our salvation is in his hands, and what he has hold of, no one can take from him. Amen.